see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Part 2, Daniel, Understanding Daniel. Who is a complicated book. It's long, too. Family, you know, on the night of Bible study, in any given time, you might have 7-10 people at your house with bringing tea cakes and coffee and cupcakes and I don't know what else. Then you'll have maybe 15 or 20 in some church or something. Then if you're a guru and you've written 50, 60 books and you're a doctor in something in Harvard and all this, you'll have a couple of hundred, maybe a thousand, I don't know, a couple of hundred, a thousand, a couple of hundred or a thousand, or like Osteen. Look at that. Look at his numbers of people. And he's a humanist. Whoa. George Myers, Hagee. They're all Illuminati. They're Freemasons or Copeland. Look at the number of people in their stadiums. Not their house with tea cakes. The stadiums filled. Osteen charges money. He charges money. Big money to come to his concerts. And they're humanist. Victoria Osteen, do good for yourself and God will be happy. That's what she says. That's right out of the humanist manifesto. Now, I'm not making God happy, but doing things for yourself. She adds to it. That'll make God happy. Boy, that's really bad. At least the humanist stay to their true belief. Yeah, at least they stay there. But the Osteens and all those like them combine the two together. That's even worse. Rick Warren, Chris Lam. What they come up with all these names? All these names. Got to name some movement. They create a movement and they name it. Chrislam. Combining Christianity and Islam. How do you do that? People, I don't understand this. People just don't catch it. They don't get it. I guarantee you, if I had titled my broadcast or lesson, King Solomon's Method of Money Control. The 10 methods that God uses for increasing your finances. I'd run out of space. I'd run out of RAM. People wouldn't be coming on. Assuming I had the reputation that, you know, increase money using God's principles of money increase. I'd be overwhelmed with people. I could sell memberships. I could, I don't know, do tapes, send them a series of tapes, whatever. I'd be filled. But family, it's not going to do them one bit of good. The money is worthless. The gold will be confiscated. They will have a microchip. They will have a digital tattoo put on your skin. It is already done. You will not have gold. Gold will not, it'd be like a piece of metal for nothing. You see? That's the rule. That's not an exception. It's not a theory. It's what's coming. So now you see why. You understand why. God will bring the tribulations that this world has never seen before. Two reasons. Well, there's many more than two, but two major reasons. One, to punish those that turned away from him worldwide. And to wake up those he knows are a little sleepy right now, needs to shaken up. And three, to bring those out that's quiet will come to the surface, and it won't be the preachers today. It'll be those not preaching that's going to come out of the woodwork and then start preaching, but the true gospel. Because then they will have the attention of those that's been sitting on the fence. That day is not yet here. Oh, but it's a coming. And these preachers today will mourn what they've been doing, or should I say, not been doing. So in the meantime, we study Daniel. Your numbers that believe in the true Bible, that believe in Jesus and the way it should be, according to the Bible, are going to get fewer and fewer in number, probably until that day of an awakening, if you will, a shaking up. Then you're going to be really busy. Right now, it's like finances, flu, Ebola, flying meteorites, investments, gold here, gold there, gold everywhere, gold in your teeth, whatever, I don't know. Reality shows. Holidays. Easter Sunday is coming up here in the springtime, you know, and you worship the sun god and the rising of the sun, and Isis, Osiris, whatever, another pagan holiday. You lose a lot of friends when you tell them about that. People hate the truth. Well, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to talk about Daniel. And Daniel, I really want to set the guidelines for Daniel, background for it, and then I want to jump into Daniel Chapter 2. That's where I'm headed. That major prophecy that tells us what's going to happen. That more so than financial gurus and Illuminati and all that. God is placating. He's allowing Satan to placate the hierarchy, to start separating those who really is going to follow God and who's not. That division, the separation is coming. And you know, I believe, my opinion here, is that God's going to write on the hearts of those pastors and preachers, rabbis and popes and priests or whatever. They're all in the same bag. He's going to write on their hearts the Bible that they're using is not the Word of God. That the King James is the only one. He's going to write on their hearts the Word of God. And they'll mourn for a while. He'll forgive them. Some of them will pull the bootstraps up and admit they're in error and start preaching the gospel like they never did before. I do believe there'll be some that'll do that. It'll come from the most unlikely places. Those that's been quiet will no longer be quiet. And those been loudest are going to fall silent as a mouse in the church on a Sunday morning. Dedicate the broadcast and let's talk about Daniel. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, we come together in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, for this Bible study. Lord, to lead us. Father, forgive me of my sins, my thoughts, my impatience. Lord, I have a lot of impatience. And Lord, I need help. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our families. Open up their hearts and, Father, to let them follow the true word. Father, to bring light to people's lives, show them in the right direction. And Father, to exalt your Son Jesus above all. And Father, he'd be the true one. Father, to bring to your prophets today, Father, the insight, the wisdom, discernment, to be able to describe, to announce, Father, to be watchmen, to sound the alarm in the times that's coming of the end times events. And write upon our hearts the truth of the Gospels. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family. We pray for friends. We pray for those, Lord, has asked for prayers that you know of, that you know in our hearts has been asked before, that need that protection from relationships that's gone bad, from medical problems, Lord, that's been orchestrated. And Father, we know some of them are supernatural, and others, Father, that we need that healing, and to use them mightily in your service. Protection through the Holy Spirit. Lead us tonight, Lord, in this Bible study. These things I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Family, last night, talking about Daniel, I got down to talking about Darius and talking about Cyrus and Daniel, the Book of Devotions. You've got Daniel's been called the prophet of dreams. He revealed secrets, Nebuchadnezzar, and There's a lot about Daniel. You know, you have to know Daniel and the symbols, parts of Daniel, before you even begin to understand the book of Revelation. So being that Daniel and John never met tells you God was in control of that, because John didn't know what Daniel wrote. Daniel definitely didn't know what John's going to write. Yet the two of them together are required to understand the revelation. So what gives? Well, God inspired the Bible and we all could read. That we read today as it is put together. That the Old Testament and New Testament are connected. That's just one part of it. You'll find the Old Testament prophets, like Amos and all the rest of them, are the same. And throughout, it's like picking little clues out and puzzles that match the end times events. It was passed on to these minor prophets. Little nuggets, I call them. That describe Matthew 24 and 25. You say, oh, I know what that is. That's Matthew 24 and you name the verse. Amos and the others didn't meet Matthew. The book reveals the power of God, his universal sovereignty, and God's power is contrasted with the world power. In Daniel 1, God the keeper, God's power in keeping Daniel and his companions, and they're giving understanding and wisdom above all the wise men of Babylon. Under the threat of death, he had to come through anyway. God, the revealer of secrets. Daniel 2, God's power in revealing the dream of Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel. Because none of the wise men in Babylon could do it. As we go through, and certain enough, today, in my broadcast, I had come across a scripture that fit that, actually, in Luke 12, 1-3. And it says, Freemasons, if you're listening, in the meantime, Luke 12, verses 1-3. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have heard, or that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Should be no secret that the secrets of the Masonic Lodge, Illuminati, and everything they've done must be revealed. God requires it of the prophets to reveal the end times events. You think he would require the workers of Satan anything less? They do it in such a way that they try to discredit the truth. But the Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth. That's how he tells the difference between those inspired by the Holy Spirit and those not. Those not will never catch the lies. They'll never catch the truth either. They catch a lie, but they'll never catch the truth embedded inside. You will. You see through it. They won't. God the Deliverer in Daniel 3. In there, God's power is delivering Daniel's three companions from the fiery furnace. And The young men stood up alone against a nation with the calm assurance that God would deliver them. A rebellious world and righteous men. Some of your evangelists today and so-called preachers that are into the "here's my Bible and here's my gun in my hand" types, Christian identity types, the Chuck Baldwin types, these kind of guys, will say that those three and Jesus and others were rebellious. Well, no. The world was rebellious against God. These three were standing for truth. They try to use them as rebellion to justify rebellious nature in man. Revolutionaries. No. Not allowed. But they try to use them as examples. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Now that occurred right after they had been seen in, or been in Babylon in about 20 years. And God was demonstrating here, in this most dramatic way, to say the least, his power over all of the gods of that country. Then in Daniel 4, you got God the potentate. Well, God's power in dealing with a mighty heathen monarch named Nebuchadnezzar. I always trouble that word. You know, God struck him while the proud king was boasting of his power as he was strolling on the roof of his palace. He is driven from his kingdom to dwell among the beasts. He is victim of a strange form of insanity. Nebuchadnezzar. Then in Daniel 5, you got God the judge. God's power shown in the awful judgment revealed to Belshazzar, son of Nabonidus, by the handwriting on the wall. Because you know that night the king was slain by the Persian army, the city was taken. Then by Daniel 6, of the books of Daniel, God is seen as the all-powerful. And here, God's power is revealed in deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den. Famous story we hear. It's always told in Bible school. Remember, Daniel was an old man. When he was a young man of about 20, it's known that he was honored by the highest office in the whole empire. So at 90 years old, he was thrown into the den of lions. He's an old man. Did y'all know that? So it kind of seems that even the lions honored him. And you know, God used the times of captivity to reveal his power among the nations of the world. And God used the captivity of John of Patmos to help write the book of Revelation. So both were captive while they were working for God. So the chosen people were captives in Egypt. He worked miracles and wonders by the hand of Moses, God did, and showed not only to the Israelites, but to the Egyptians, that the Lord God is almighty. Now, reflecting back on the Babylonian captivity, God used this as a special occasion to manifest his power. You have the three great world monarchs that confess that he's the living God, the Most High and the King of Heaven. And even while in exile, God visits his children. And you know, he showed them over again that he is mighty to save. And something different about Daniel and the other prophets. Daniel, unlike all the other prophets in the book, he dealt more fully with the Gentile nations. Well, actually, more so than even the Jewish nations. And you know, the contrast to that is that the other prophets only mention the Gentiles as incidental to something else concerning Israel. Daniel, on the other hand, didn't. But what Daniel does is gives us kind of a history of the Gentile powers from Babylon to the end. This is the times of the Gentiles. The Bible, God's holy word, the only one, just happens to be in English. The Old Testament was written in Greek. Greek because it was the times of the Gentiles. The Old Testament was the times of the Jews, the Hebrews, written in Hebrew. New Testament in Greek. Written in New Testament in Greek. Name of Jesus is Jesus, I-E-S-U-S. Then brought to English, finally, when English was created, which is a universal language. That's very, very important. His name became Jesus, not Yeshua, Jesus. I became J. At the end of the tribulation, after end of Armageddon, God will reestablish his reign. And that's when the old Hebrew language will be given to everyone. And family, you will not have to take a Pilsner language course. If he changed the languages in different languages at the Tower of Babel supernaturally, he could change everybody back into Hebrew. Because he don't have everybody together. And he will be here controlling. While Satan was in control, God divided the land and the languages. When Jesus Christ takes control of Jerusalem, physically, he brings the languages back. At that time, at the beginning of the 1,000 years, will be the end of the Gentile, times of the Gentiles. It go back to Hebrew. And the remnant that survived, the mortals, the remnant will then, once again, reestablish a population for 1,000 years of having God at the kingdom and reigning instead of Satan. A complete structural, restructural change. And the precepts of the Bible, the King James Bible, will be his testimony. So the book of Daniel is divided into two great sections, 12 chapters in the book of Daniel. The first six is narration and historical. The last six, 7 to 12, is prophetic and revelatory, gives revelation. And the first four of the six is about the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. I most assuredly know that tomorrow will be part three. There's no way I'm going to get through that today. I'm very anxious to get to chapter 2 in detail and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Because family, that tells you what's going to happen today. They have downplayed. Now, I talked today about education in the school systems going back forever. Well, here's my point. And we'll get to the point quickly on this. Is they have downplayed history to where the people don't want to learn history. It's all past. To that, some extent, there's truth. But the problem is they've included the history, they've included the Bible as history. So by downplaying history and associating the Bible with history, people don't want to learn it. When in reality, no, it's telling you what's going to happen. The history gives you the symbols, gives you what's happened in the past, and it will equal the future. because it tells you what's going to happen in the future. But very cleverly, the humanists in the schools have downplayed it. And so the kids today, they see it as history and cliche scriptures in church, and the Bibles, they don't trust the Bibles because the Bibles are corrupted. You got, say, 10 people in a Bible study in church. You've got three of them with NIV, one of them with NASB because it's given to him by his grandmother. And you got another one, King James Bible. You got another one with who knows what, NASB. And then the preacher gets up there and starts reading scripture, has somebody else read scripture, and it don't match. It's not the same thing. And someone will say, wait, I don't have that verse. You got it? No. Oh, you have it. Well, my verse is gone here. Now, come on now. Why don't a preacher have the guts to say, wait a minute, which ones are missing? Okay. Which ones have all the verses? And little old somebody throws it, I do. And what book do you have? I have the King James. It's got all of them here. Well, doggone, we're just going to use the King James from now on. Now, how hard is that? How difficult is that? I just don't understand it. I just don't understand what's wrong with these churches. It just boggles my mind. How do they justify this? I've been trying to pin some down, but they won't tell you. They get all mad at you and stuff, you know. They won't tell you why. They can't, because they can't. So when you read Daniel 1-4, through the 1-4, it opens up a little company of four young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They're also called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did you know that? They've been taken captives from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. They were carried away to his palace in Babylon. At this time, when those three were thrown into the furnace time period, Daniel was about 16 years old. Young, impressionable youth. Nebuchadnezzar was a little older. And so he came to the throne about the time that Daniel was taken captive into Babylon. And he was the most powerful and distinguished king of the Babylonian Empire at that time. So Daniel's career was marked by its extent in time and its greatness and accomplishment at that period of time, even though Daniel was a young guy. At that time, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was getting ready to go through their trials and tribulations. You know what Daniel means? El means God. Daniel is God is judge. Watch this. The fallen angels also names end in El. God. Aziel, Basamyaza, others. Now, if you go back to Superman series of comic books, which was created by the Freemasons, 1938, what was the name of Superman? Jor-El. Or thereabouts. They all had the EL at the end of them, the Superman characters, and all those on Krypton and all that other stuff. Because you see, the Superman comic books and Star Trek and all those were created by Freemasons to tell you what's going to happen from their perspective. I'm not going to get into it right now, but that was the purpose of Star Trek series in the 60s and 70s. That was the purpose of it. To set up the New World Order and train you for almost a decade or more. You had to be in witchcraft or Freemasonry to get a part in not only Star Wars, but also Star Trek in Hollywood. Yep. That's why you have to be a Freemason, he's a star of witchcraft, to get parts in TV. Or play professional ball like LeBron. He's a Freemason. All that's part of it, family. This is what's really in the background. Daniel, God is judge, is Daniel. Well, during this time, Daniel was carried to Babylon during his first deportation of the captives, and he gained a high position in the kingdom and was influential through the 70 years of his captivity. That 70 years is very interesting. You've heard me talk about that before, 1789, 1859, 1929. 70 years. 70 years is a generation. 70 years is a bank cycle. 70 years has a lot to do with a lot of things in the Bible. Daniel was captive for 70 years. He also saw his brothers return to Jerusalem under the decree of Cyrus. He saw the world-ruling Babylon pass away and a new empire arise. And you know, even at the age of 90, he received a position of high distinction in the court of Persia at 90 years old. I guess it didn't have chemtrails back then or Alzheimer's. Daniel and the friends he had lived in the atmosphere of loose morals, low standards, even though they were in a palace. When you study up and you read it, you find they kept themselves apart from the evil of that court. And they were true to God in a day when everything was against them, which goes with what I'm saying a little while ago. Your numbers are going to get small before they get big. Evils, much like that of today, was rampant everywhere in the courts of royalty. Everywhere. And these youths that stood for God, they faced their first temptation in the court of the Babylonian king. How many today would say to the leaders, those persecuting them, that we will not defile ourselves with the king's meat? We're not going to eat his meat. And they didn't. And it's young men like those that God would tell his secrets to and demonstrate his power and go through them, not just anybody, but those that stand for him strongly. So there's a secret I'm going to share with you. Secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That's the secret. A lot of people don't know. That's why Michelangelo, Avatar, Secret Society member, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci also. Michelangelo painted that ridiculous painting above the Sistine Chapel of a white-haired old man, half-naked, touching the fingers of Adam, depicting that this is God with a half-dressed and white-haired old man, a little bit muscular, touching the finger of Adam. So we see our God, who's bigger than the universe itself, just the size of a man with white hair and half-dressed. There's a reason why they put that there. And Leonardo da Vinci, the Last Supper. Family, he's never there. And there's no record of who sat where. He paints a picture of Mary right close to Jesus. It's all set up. They don't fear God, and they teach us not to fear God. That's the point. These three youths met every emergency, were victors, and they were in different positions, by the way. They were in the court of the powerful emperor. They were in the fiery furnace, where there were three. Nebuchadnezzar saw four, one like the Son of God. How'd he know that? Son of God wasn't even born yet. Could it be that God wrote in his heart, even evil as it was? It's a testimony? Yeah. And then in the den of lions, God shut their mouths. So in this first scene of 1 to 4, the youths were brought to face to face with the practical difficulty. A real test for these three individuals. And his favored ones, they had been put into one of the apartments in the palace, had a lot of the delicacies of the king's table. They were trained in state affairs and equipped for high positions. It was hard indeed to refuse the king's meat and ask for a simpler fare. Is that not what they do with the Freemasons? Knights of Malta, others in college, educated, military, positions, rewards, blood oaths, to make it difficult to pull out. They amaze the four-star generals today and congressmen that come in wanting to change the world. This is the power we have. Join us or suffer the consequences, and you'll never be promoted. This is how it really works. So for them to refuse the king's meat was a big thing. You know, it kind of looked like they had no choice in the matter. Does it not, would it not also apply to the time when they give us the choice to take the mark, take the digital tattoo before you can buy or sell anything? They no longer accept cash. Well, we're sorry, we can't help you if you don't take this tattoo. And then to take the tattoo, you got to swear allegiance to Lucifer. It all comes together. It must come together. A free will decision to turn away from God. They will say, we'll take the beast and take the mark here, the tattoo. Think it's for God. And then later, make him swear an oath to Lucifer. It don't work that way. It'll be simultaneous. A lot of us would have argued the same way, that they asked to be able to prove that their faces would be satisfactory. God gave them favor in the eyes of their companions, and remember, we should always, always obey God rather than men. How do you do that? By knowing what the Bible says. Because the king's meat had been offered in sacrifice to idols. That's why it's defiled. You find in Exodus 34, verse 15, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. And you know that the fresh blood would have been killed with the blood left in the animal, which was unclean. This is covered in Leviticus 3, verse 17, and Leviticus 7, verse 26. Daniel was an unusual prophet. It was something else to make a man like Ashpenaz to love him. But if you read it, you'll notice in the first four chapters that you notice how loyal his companions were to him. Success didn't turn Daniel's head like it does a lot of people. He's a man to whom the early in his career men turned to. As a result of this, God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. It came from God. And Daniel, being a righteous man as he was, God gave him understanding in all the visions and dreams. that was what you could consider God's reward that period of time. So God's power was demonstrated through Daniel and the three companions. Now, as you read on, you'll find that there was a stir in the palace. And no Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed a dream. But it wasn't one of the wise men of the kingdom could tell him what it was. They didn't know. He forgot about the dream. He wanted, number one, for them to remind him what he dreamed. And number two, to interpret it. That's some heavy calling. And the decree had been sent forth that all the wise men should be killed because they couldn't do it. So Daniel and his friends were sought after. But Daniel was not afraid. God would tell him the dream, give him the meaning of it, supernaturally. It'd be the only way for God to do that. You had to know that Daniel was a righteous man. So Daniel called together his prayer partners, Daniel 2:17, I believe it was, and they put their problem, as they should do, before God. Now, what comes to mind when we talk about that? They had a problem coming up, one of life and death. And what did they do? Did they try to secure weapons to hide them, and they secure slingshots or something? I don't know. Did they try to hire people to protect them, bodyguards? And did they have camels getting ready to run off if they got attacked? What did they do? They went to God first. You see where I'm going with this? Today, people go to God only on Sundays. Some people wait till Christmas and Easter to go see God. Pray for help. Oh, I will when I get things done. I'm too busy right now. I got too much going on, man. I got this, that, and the other, and the IRS is after me, and I just don't have time for all that. You're like, huh? What? What really gets me, and I've been on guest shows a couple of times, I run across the patriot groups and all that sort of thing, Christian identity. They claim to know God, and they say prayers in the broadcast and all that, and they know about God. You always got one or two that don't. And still, God's the last thing they're going to do. They think, well, we got to do this, we got to do that, get a meeting, we got to find out who the bad guys. They go. It's like the stretch rubber band. You stretch it with the truth, and it pops right back to where it was. It's like they never even heard you. To talk about how Satan's got it set up. And when I talk about it, I know what it's doing. It's serving the purpose of what I say on purpose. I tell them the truth. The things that they come up with is not going to work. And what I'm hoping it would do would lead them to, well, I guess all we have to do is pray about it. Okay, finally, but that's not what they want to hear. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's the answer to the Joint Chief of Staff, even. They're not going to do it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then you deal with it after that. He'll heal the land, but only after. If we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from the wicked ways, then he's going to hear from heaven. Individually, it's the same thing. Why ain't God answering my prayers? Because you're not being righteous. Why ain't you saving the country? Because it's not righteous. Every day. Now I've got recently the report on same-sex marriages in the nation, in the status, child euthanasia coming up. All that is designed on purpose at the very highest level to cause a nation to pull away from God, allowing the demonic realm to make its debut. The nation with no God is the same as the individual with no God. Same thing. The evil fills up the vacuum. In both cases, exactly the same thing. So, they present their problems before God. Then there's a secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Daniel 2, verse 19. God never disappoints true faith. True faith. Not just lip service. True faith. Nebuchadnezzar, his dream and the interpretation, the dream of world empires. Family, it happened exactly like it was dreamed. When you go into history, Nebuchadnezzar's dream and interpretation teaches us some very interesting things about the history of the world. And that was coming at the time to the end of the age. And this period now comes around full circle. Because this period, the Bible calls the times of the Gentiles. Finally, I get to it. You know why? Because God's put aside his own people, the Jews, and that for a time has passed, and that over to the government, to the world, to the Gentiles. That's where we are today. And in Daniel 2, theologians actually call it the ABCs of prophecy. Because Daniel 2 stretches out before us the complete picture in all the scriptures. What is to come to pass in the future that's not even happened yet. The churches aren't teaching this. The schools aren't teaching this. History is a joke. And you know that God revealed his plan. In this plan to exalt himself through Daniel, God revealed his plan to a heathen monarch in a dream. It wouldn't have been the same effect if it had given to Daniel. But he made Nebuchadnezzar have this dream, requiring Daniel to interpret it for him. You see what he did? How clever that was? What if Daniel said he came up to Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, I have a dream of your future. That wouldn't have the same impact. It's like, well, who are you? But this one came through Nebuchadnezzar, troubled him. He called Daniel to interpret it for him. So it came from him, not from Daniel. It came from the pagan. You see what happened? Daniel 2, verse 29. Daniel 2, verse 29. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? He that reveals secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. So after he dreamed, he forgot. It slipped his mind. Maybe he did have Alzheimer's back then and didn't know it. Anyway, he forgot this dream. They made it twice as bad. He forgot. It worried him. God put a burden on him. Nobody could tell him his dream, and no one who knew the God of heaven would reveal it to them. Here is where you want to really get down to the history given in the second chapter. You get down into it. Waller in it. It's quite amazing. And we leads up to the statue, which I find exciting to talk about. Because it tells you exactly what happened and the future. It went exactly right to the year. Picture this great image. The head was of gold, its breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, its legs of iron, and feet and toes of iron and clay. Now, a stone that's cut out of the without hands smited the image, broke it to pieces, and the stone became the great mountain in this vision, and it filled the whole earth. And guess who the stone was? The stone was no other than Jesus Christ. You see, God first reveals the Gentile powers. You had four great empires that succeed each other in the government. And these are governments in the world from Nebuchadnezzar to the end. And God said, thou art the head of gold. That's pretty clear. The breast and arms of silver represented the Medo-Persian Empire. And that overthrew Babylon and then became its successor. Its power began when Cyrus, under the Jews, returned, and whom the Jews returned to Jerusalem in Ezra 1, verses 1 and 2. And then the belly and the thighs of brass represented Greece and overturned the Medo-Persians. Who was that? Well, the Grecian rule over all the earth was under Alexander the Great. So Babylon, to give you some idea, each metal represents a kingdom. Babylon ruled the world at 605 BC to 539 BC. It was the head of gold, kingdom came after. It was the chest and arms of silver. Conquered Babylon. Babylon, in fact, did fall. It was what? Taken over by the Medo-Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great. And they ruled from 539 BC to 331 BC. So Medo-Persia was the chest and arms of Persia. Then who conquered Medo-Persia? The great kingdom of Greece that was led by Macedonian. Alexander the Great, from 331 B.C. to 168 B.C. He ruled it. He's one of the greatest military minds of all time. And you know that also, did you know that the Greek weapons were also made of bronze? So Greece was the belly and thigh of bronze. Who conquered Greece? A very interesting date. Look it up. June 22nd. Very interesting date in the history of man. June 22nd at 168 BC was the Battle of Pydna. The kingdom of Alexandria fell about 144 years from his death under the Iron Monarchy of Rome. And then Rome ruled from 168 B.C. to 476 A.D. Now you know from the Christians in the Colosseums and Constantine in 325 A.D. You got it? Rome ruled to 476 A.D. In verse 40 of Daniel 2, the four kingdoms shall be as strong as iron breaks in pieces, shatters everything. Iron can crush gold, silver, and bronze. You know that the Rome was the greatest empire of antiquity, of old times. Matter of fact, Jesus was crucified on a Rome cross in 330, about 31 A.D. Jerusalem was destroyed by 70 A.D., as Jesus Christ had predicted, by Rome. And Rome was the legs of iron. So now, it begs the question, who conquered Rome? Well, in Daniel 2:41, says that the fourth kingdom shall be divided. Rome was not conquered from outside. But remember, Rome was destroyed from within. A fifth column destruction. Not from the outside, but inside. Rome fell from the inside. Divided Rome were the feet and toes, partly of iron, partly of clay. So know that the feet has 10 toes. Rome was divided by 10 tribes. Now, we'll stop here. Take it up tomorrow night. A little refresher tomorrow about this. And we'll continue on with this image and how it fits into the Vatican and today. We'll talk about the five men who tried to unite Europe. Charles Maine, Charles V, Louis XIV, Napoleon, Hitler. They're all family members of the Merovingian bloodline. God predicted through his prophets 2,500 years of human history. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. And I probably see that we'll probably go into Thursday also. Family, this is where we are today. And also, I figure by Thursday or Friday, we'll get to Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks. That's the end time judgment. How it all fits together with the book of Revelation as well. This is what's going on today. Not health care bill, not education policies, not gold and rising prices in meat or lowering prices in fuel and oil and all this and all that and World War III blooming. All that stuff is to keep your minds all tied up. Everything else convoluted. All that is just nothing, man. It's like a puff in the wind. This about Daniel is going to happen. People just don't know that yet, unfortunately. But like Luke 12, 1 to 3 says, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. People just aren't ready for it yet. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you tonight for the Bible study. Father, thank you for leading us tonight in the study of Daniel. Father, the opportunity we have to worship, to have this Bible study on the air, make copies, Lord, and send out to people. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities you give us. We thank you, Lord, for families. We thank you, Lord, for opportunities you give us to witness to others. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Help us through. Convict us, we fall away. Father, prepare us for that time to come when the day of the Lord will show. We pray for many more. And to answer, Father, we pray for answer the prayers we put before you. For those that ask us to pray, that, Father, you'll listen to their prayers. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, I want to remind you about John Kirkler up in highpointradio.net. Highpointradio, one word, .net. He randomly plays my broadcast and Bible studies on his network up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He's got sponsors up there in those three states. If you live in those three states, look up his website, highpointradio.net. Find out those sponsors or get in touch with him or listen through his network. And let me know how it goes. Also, my website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Come join, like it, whatever that thing does that you all do. Like it and all this. Visit it. Participate. Family, get ready. Know that Jesus Christ is alive and he's coming back. He's letting us know. People got their head in the sand. Earthquakes tend to cause people to pull their head out and take notice, you know. Well, a big one's coming. And not just an earthquake, but an awakening. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. Keep up the study. This is your Watchman, signing off.
I am with you every day.